Praise the name of the Lord. Tonight, we'll be looking on a passage of scripture from the book of St. Matthew, chapter 24 and verse 12. St. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12. From the New Living Translation, it reads, "Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold." Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. Sin, lawlessness, will be everywhere, and the love of many shall grow cold. Back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. "Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength." Second Timothy 3 and verse 1 and 2. "You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred." The last days. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, the disciples came to Jesus. They were with the Lord Jesus, leaving the temple. And his disciples begin to show him this wonderful edifice, the building of the temple. It was considered one of the wonders of the world at that time. And Jesus responded, he said, "Do you see all these buildings? I tell you the truth, they will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left on top of another." The words of Jesus pierced the very souls of the disciple. That in the private time with the Lord Jesus, while they sat on Mount Olives, the disciples came to him privately, said, "Tell us when all this happened. When will all this happen? What sign will signal your return and the end of the world?" Jesus began to speak about the destruction of the temple. begin to speak about his return and the end of the world. Tonight, I want to speak to us tonight. At some point in time, we will get back just to have a more detailed look at the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24. But tonight, I am challenged to speak to the body of Christ about a love that is challenged in the end time. The love of God, or the love for God rather, being challenged by the lawlessness of the time in which we live. Jesus said in verse 10 of 24, he said, many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. Many in the last days will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. They will not continue in their love for Christ. And here we will see in the last day is an exaltation of self. Self-idolatry. In the last days, the words that Jesus spoke, if you seek to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you will inherit eternal life. Such words quickly fade away in the minds of some individuals in the increase of lawlessness, in the increase of sin and immorality in a world which we are living in. Not only will some turn away and betray and hate each other. The Bible said many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. And we will look at the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, which gives us a hint of what the Lord Jesus is saying. But sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, and verse 4, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God. In the King James, it will tell you, the Lord is one. In the New Living Translation say alone. It calls for our intellect to accept the sovereignty of God, to understand it. What our finite minds perceive everything that we see comes from God and proceeds out of God. He alone rules the universe. Everything belongs to Him. So when we look on the sovereignty of God and how mighty His omnipotence, then we can understand that we should love him. We understand that nothing that we have belongs to us. Everything belongs to God. The silver is his. The gold is his. All the treasures in this earth belongs to him. Verse 5 of Deuteronomy chapter 6 tells us, and thou shalt love the Lord your God. This kind of love means the individual desire is to be in the presence of God. He's captivated mentally by the awesomeness of God, that he seeks to be in his presence. He understands how powerful this God is, and that he has the final authority in this universe. Set all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Love him. Jesus told his disciples that because of how rampant sin will be in the last days, it will challenge the love of many. And a lot of folks' love will become cold. The word love here from the Greek is speaking of the highest form of love. We spoke about this some time ago. It's agape love, which can be understood as a supremely self-sacrificing love. No wonder why when Jesus called his disciples, it must be noted that every one of them, when he called them, Matthew, he got up from the seat of custom, left everything, and followed after Jesus. Peter, John, they left everything and they followed after Jesus. And Jesus told those who had an interest in following him a very broad statement, but includes any man who will make an attempt to be Jesus' disciple. The first thing that person has to challenge himself with is the denial of self. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, if any man will follow me or desire to become my disciple, let him first deny himself. In other words, the kind of love that he has to display is a self-sacrificing love to the Lord Jesus. No wonder Jesus said he must take first priority over mother, over father, over everything in a disciple's life. I have to be number one on your list of priorities. Agape love, a self-sacrificing love. One of the great illustrations of agape love is giving up one's life for a friend. And this we see in the book of John chapter 15 and verse 13. Jesus said, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. This is the love that I have come in the world to show to everyone. In the book of 1 John chapter 3 verse 16, John writes to us and he said, by this we know love. This is how we know love. That he laid down his life for us. This is how we understand love. Jesus laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Self-sacrifice in love. It is no wonder, brothers and sisters, we stand at a moment in history where there's a subtle departure from the love that Jesus requires of us. When we have now replaced the love of God with our own interpretation of what God considers love for him. And if we look carefully and observe our actions, we will recognize it is the challenge of the time in which we live in, where the increase in lawlessness, our sin, it has caused us to remove ourselves from what the Lord Jesus has required. And it's caused many of us for our love for Jesus to become cold. Sin. Let's look some further into agape love. In relation to the believer. In relation to the believer, agape refers to love given by God and shaped by the Spirit of Christ as the guiding principle of Christian living. Look at Ephesians 1 and verse 15. It said, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, unselfish. The church speaks about the body, never about an individual. Many members, one body. In Philippians 1:9. And 9 it says, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. Colossians 1 and 4. We heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints. That is the spirit of the church. That is the spirit of those whose minds are being renewed by Christ. It is in the book. Let's see from John chapter 14 and verse 15. How does Jesus understands love. Is it by words? By the songs we sing of how much we love him? The correct notes that we give to these songs that drive an emotion or a mood in our songs? Let's see. Jesus said, if you love me, John 14:15, obey my commandments. As if you love me, obey my commandments. John 14:21. He said, those who accept my commandments, those who listen and believe and obey them, are the ones who love me. Hello. It's not how much we sing about our love for God. It's not how much we talk about our love for God. It is how much we believe with a heart and obey. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them. And I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. Sometimes it begs just to wonder why why we haven't even received the revelation of the mysteries and certain inspirations. It speaks of a lack of love for Jesus. God determined in the council of heaven to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. There was a decree that was given out in heaven. Sodom and Gomorrah must be destroyed. The Lord himself said, there's a man called Abraham. He loves me. He is my friend. Shall I hide this thing that I'm about to do in the earth from Abraham, my friend? No, I cannot. So he reveals what he's going to do to mere mortal man. Why? Because of a man's love for God. John 15:10 tells us how Jesus understands love for him. He said, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Hello. Not when you go to church. Not when you sing in a lovely choir. Not when you show up for all the meetings and the activities, the administrative functions, and everything that we do just to have our services. Don't get me wrong. Some of these actions or activities are necessary. But they don't tell us of our love for Jesus. Jesus says, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. So my love for Jesus is not a feeling. It's not how I feel. My love for Jesus directly correlates with how I obey his commandments. He said, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Yes. We say Jesus is the perfect man. The one who has set the example for us. The one who came into this world and remained sinless. And we are now being transformed to be conformed to his image by the renewing of our minds through the word of God. Jesus said, when you obey my commandments, you'll remain in my love, just as I obeyed my Father's commandments and remain in his love. John 14 and verse 23. Brothers and sisters, let's look at how God understands love for him. The noises that leave our lips don't affect God or allow him to believe that's truly what our heart is saying. Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them. And we will come and make our home with each of them. Agape love that desires to be in the presence of the Lord. Jesus says, when I receive love like this, it comes true. Men obey my commandments. And those who obey my commandments, we're going to set up, I'm going to set up our home with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. That's how God knows those who hate him. Somebody say, I don't hate Jesus, I love him. But I don't obey him. Well, hear what Jesus said. Those who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I'm telling you is from the Father who sent me. Any man who doesn't love me, obey me, will not, or doesn't love me, will not obey me. Those are the words of Jesus. So we see how Jesus understands love for him. It's true. Those who are in Christ obeying his commandments. It's not lip service. It is not being busy in church activities. It is love for God by believing or obeying his commandments. Second Timothy chapter 3. Let's look at Matthew chapter 23 for an example. Matthew 23. Verse 1. Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the law of Moses. So practice and obey whatever they tell you, but don't follow their example. They're religious. For they don't practice what they teach. They don't do. They crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. No love for the brethren. Everything they do is for show. It looks good. They will get several commendations from men. On their arms, they wear extra wide prayer boxes with scripture verses inside, and they wear robes with extra long tassels. And they love to sit at the head table at banquets and in the seats of honor in the synagogues. But Jesus warned his disciples about the Pharisees. They don't practice what they teach. They may teach the commandments, but they don't practice it. They don't obey it. Proving that they have no love for God. No wonder Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceed those of the Pharisees and the scribes, you cannot enter. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, Paul writes to Timothy. He said, Timothy, you should know this, that in the last days, there will be very difficult times. Difficult times. Sounds like the words of Jesus. Sin will be rampant. The love of many will grow cold. Paul said, in the last days, Timothy, there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. The idolatry of self. That will be on the increase. We have seen it now. We have seen it in the world, we've seen it in our assemblies. We've seen it across the face of this globe. Everything has now become about an individual, driven by the spirit that's in the world. It has crept even inside the churches. Men begin to take the gifts and calling of God and label it with their own names. The idolatry of self. Paul says they will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. Unloving, unforgiving, They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. That is very much alive in the world and creeping into some assemblies. Betray friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. A departure from the agape love. They will remain. They'll be acting out, being religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. They refuse the power of God that would make them godly. Timothy, stay away from people like that. Verse 8 tells us these teachers oppose the truth just as Jannes and Jambres oppose Moses. They have depraved minds and a counterfeit faith. Looks like faith, but when you try it, you will recognize it's not faith. When put to the fire, it fades away. Because there's no real or agape love for God. Verse 10 says, but you, Timothy, certainly know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, and my endurance. You know how much persecution and suffering I endured. You know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. But the Lord rescued me from all of it. My faith, my love for God has not changed. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but evil people and imposters will flourish. They will deceive others and will themselves be deceived. But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. Faithful the commandments of the Lord, faithful in loving the brethren, faithful in reaching the lost at any cost. The time of lawlessness. He writes to Timothy in chapter 4. He said, I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom. Preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct. Rebuke and encourage your people with good teaching. A For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching right in the church. What has changed? Lawlessness has increased. Because of that, they no longer will desire to listen to sound and wholesome teaching. Why? Because their love has gone cold. They call evil good. Boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to parents, ungrateful. Love of pleasure, lovers of pleasure than of God. Puffed up with pride, self-idolatry, love gone cold. Love of God replaced with love of self. Right in the church. Timothy, they will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. In other words, they have already decided what they will obey, what they want to hear. Lovers of self. Given over to itching ears. Refusing to listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They are driven by their own selfish desires. They will look, they search out. You understand? And sometimes this thing really marvels me. And I'm going to say, it marvels me when I landed here in Canada, the 31st day of December, 2007. After a few weeks, few months, gaining an understanding of the of what life is like in Canada. One of the things that struck me the most is to see individuals leaving from churches to churches, conferences being set up, and the promotion of speakers to get crowds, and the minds of people shaped to follow their passions and their desires and what they want to hear than what God wants them to know. How different are we from the people who led the great rebellion in the Tower of Babel? At least they didn't mix God's name with their evil and selfish desires. Timothy, they will reject the truth and chase after myths. They will validate their own beliefs and prove to you that this is right in the sight of God. And a preacher of righteousness, Paul has to encourage him. He said, but you should keep a clear mind in every situation. You got to understand the time in which you're operating, the love of many have gone cold. So don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. Let's look at Revelation chapter 2 to close off. Let's go to Ephesians 3 and verse 14 and then jump over to Revelation chapter 2. The church in Ephesus. Paul says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts. How? How? Jesus already told us, when you obey my commandments, I will set up my home. He said, Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love when you abide in his love. How? By obeying his commands. And keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. You can't understand it. We can't if we are not obeying his commandments. Because you have to be immersed in his love. You have to abide in his love to experience what Paul is talking about. So may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. When you do that, you will be complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. Wow, what beautiful words. You want an abundant life. It is to understand the love of God, and that comes through obeying him. Revelation chapter 2. Verse 1, John in the Isle of Patmos writes, and he said, it's the revelation of Jesus, his letter to the church in Ephesus, which we have just read about. So this is the message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand and the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know all the things you do. God says he's looking, he's watching, he's taking an account. He's mindful of us. He's observing. He's scrutinizing. He said, I've seen your hard work and your patient endurance. What lovely commendation. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles, but are not. You have discovered they are liars. You tried the spirit, and you have proven that they are liars and deceivers. You're operating in the gifts. That's good. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Activity without agape love. Love for God, love for the brethren. Activities without self-sacrificing love. Jesus says, look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. What are the works? To love him is to obey him. To love him is to obey him. Have this complaint. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. To turn back to me and do the works you did at first. Self-sacrificing love is important. Said, if you don't repent, if you don't do it, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. Anyone who hears with ears to hear must listen to what the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. God's calling the church in a time of lawlessness, when sin is on the increase, when the governments of the nations of this world, including this very nation in which we live, look on what God considers moral and calls it immoral, look on good and deem it evil. I had a bill I wanted to read to you tonight, but I'll read it some other time. The laws that have been now going through parliament to be passed. Against the church. Jesus says, in the last days, because iniquity or sin shall become rampant, the love of many shall grow cold. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen what the what's written in the scriptures. I'll close on this. On the activities and the encouragement and the instruction that are given to believers. Romans 15 and 1 tells us, we who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. We must not just please ourselves. We should help others to do what is right and build them up in the Lord. For even Christ didn't live to please himself, as the scripture says. The insults of those who insult you, O God, have fallen on me. 2 Corinthians 5 and 15, he said he died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Can't have the life of Christ and have a selfish life or live a selfish life. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. Philippians 2:21, all the others care only for themselves and not for what matters to Jesus Christ, is a warning. James 2 and verse 8, he said, yes, indeed, it is good when you obey the royal law as was found in the scriptures. Love your neighbor as yourself. Master, what is the greatest commandment? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. And thou shalt love the neighbor, thy neighbor as thyself. The rest is commentary. And all these hung the laws and the prophets. Commentary. The greatest commandment is a love for God and a love for your brother. Self-sacrificing love. Now, because sin has increased, my God Almighty, we become boastful, covetous, the greed for the things in this world. Love for self has now allowed a seed of covetousness to occupy the heart of some. And we know that in this book, every covetous man is an idolater. And there's no inheritance as it relates to the kingdom of God for the covetous man or the greedy man. For greed is a reflection, or it's produced by the love for self. The love for God, read our Bibles, will allow us to sell properties, to look out for your brother and your sister like they did in the beginning of the church. No man thought of his position of his own as his own, but sold land, properties, got the money and laid them. Laid it at the apostles' feet so that it could be evenly distributed to those who were in need. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. 8:37. Hallelujah. Namakotosha. Love for self. It is a sign of the end. The love of many growing cold. Jesus said, repent. I see some activities and I commend you. But the greatest thing in which I'm looking for is the love for God and the love for your brother. I don't see it. I don't see it. You're still doing some good, but I don't see the love for God and the love for your brother. I see a departure from that. Go back to your first work. When you came to me, Bible tells us in Romans 5 and verse 5, I believe, that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. God gave it to us. Use it. We only can understand the love of God and the love, the ability we have to love when we read the Word of God. The love that we have is far greater than emotional. Because it's not possible Jesus says, love them that hate you. Do good to them. Why? Because he has given us a love that is capable of doing that. Let's unmute our microphones. We're going to pray. Shambhakasa.